Welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark.
And this is episode 17, season 3.
And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're doing OK Computer by Radiohead, and it was produced by Radiohead and Nigel Godrick. And it was recorded in Didcot, England, and Bath, England. And it was released in May 21, 1997.
And today we're doing the first two songs off the album. The first, Airbag, and the second...
Yes, Paranoid Android.
Yes. Alright, let's start with an album intro.
It's the band's third album.
All right.
It contains heavier and darker themes of technology, societal downfall, and politics, while delving in more experimental and electronic territory that was prevalent in the late 90s. So after releasing The Bends in 1995, the band went on tour for a couple of years to promote it.
And in 1986, they did a bunch of shows on the East Coast of the U.S., opening for Alanis Morissette. That's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
To test out new songs for the next album, this album.
Yeah. I guess that's all right. In late 1996, the band decided to finish the album in St. Catherine's Court, which is a 15th century mansion in the village of St. Catherine, owned by actress Jane Seymour.
And that's Jane Seymour, OBE, to you. OBE is an officer of the Order of the British Empire, and it's given because you have achievement, you've done a big achievement or service to the community. And she's in the company of Joan Collins, Keira Knightley, and David Beckham.
Wow.
Okay. And also a writer, which I will not bring up, but she wrote Harry Potter.
All right, in case you were wondering, the title OK Computer was inspired by the 1978 radio series The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where one of the characters has the phrase, OK Computer, I want full manual control now.
Did you see that movie?
No.
Did you read the book?
No. No, I have no idea what this is about. But yeah, they were going to call a song OK Computer, which is a B-side called Palo Alto. Because it's like the tech.
Yeah. And other titles that they were going to use were 1 and Zeros, which is digital. That's kind of obvious.
Oh, nice.
And
oh yeah, and your home may be at risk if you do not keep up payments.
I think that's like sticking it to like the big corporations, you know, like how impersonal they are. Like somebody's about to lose their home and they're just like,
aesthetically though, it's not pleasing.
Yeah. Let's start with the album artwork since it is iconic.
Yeah, well, it's kind of cryptic. It looks like
it's the artwork shows a photograph of I-84 freeway, which goes towards Bulkley Bridge and the Connecticut River in Hartford, Connecticut. The band took the photo from their hotel window at the Hilton while they were on tour.
Yeah, Stanley Donwood did the artwork with Tom York for this. And the first idea was to create the color of bleached bone. Okay, Jeffrey Dahmer. What, do you know this bleached bone?
Yeah, it's like when you see a skeleton anywhere. Because bones, when they're fresh off you, I think they look different.
Well, anyway, the photo has some scribbling over it and some scattered safety pamphlet images a la Fight Club. And some blurred cryptic images of what looks like people walking. And Stanley Donwood said, that he restricted himself from using the Apple Z, which I guess is like the Command Z button to undo any mistakes. So he would just have to cover it up with another image of like some sort of, yeah, because you can't, because he said you can't undo your mistakes in real life. So, and so you should just cover them up, I guess. I don't understand.
No, you have to figure out how to not make them mistakes anymore. And in this case...
Oh, and turn them into beauty.
Yeah.
I get that.
Or at least, you know, like, figure out how to exist with them.
Yeah.
A little bit of album trivia. So the band released a 20th anniversary edition of the album called Ok-Not-Tok.
Or Okay, Not Okay.
Ok-Not-Tok.
Which included a few unreleased songs and a tape cassette of session recordings and demos.
And a couple years later, 18 hours of recordings that were done during the OK Computer period were leaked online. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then they had to take it down, taken down and put on their Bandcamp site for purchase, and it was for the charity.
Yeah, the proceeds would go to Extinction Rebellion.
What is that?
I think they're about environmental stuff.
Extinction, I get it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
In other trivia, this album won a Grammy for Best Alternative Music Album, beating out Bjork's Homogenic.
Yeah. Speaking of Grammys and Bjork being a loser, we forgot to mention her video Bachelorette lost the Grammy for Best Music Video in 1999 to Madonna's Ray of Light. What do you think about that? Would you pick Madonna's Ray of Light over Bachelorette?
I can see why it was picked.
Yeah. Okay. And then she lost again in 2000 when her video for All Is Full of Love was nominated, but lost to Korn's Freak on a Leash. So it was just one of those things where I'm like, oh man, I forgot to say in the last.
Yeah. I think that Madonna's Ray of Light is like the equivalent to a restaurant that people think is trendy or cutting edge. But it's really just like made for the masses. Shit. You know, it's like designed that way. And Bjork is like the actual like hidden secret restaurant that's delicious and nobody knows about it. So I think that's why Madonna, like the people that voted were like, oh, this looks...
A sheep. All right, we're going to talk about Airbag now.
Yeah, let's talk about Airbag. What's your one-line overview?
This is the album opener that is a little upbeat while being infused with classical Radiohead cynicism with a hint of positivity.
That sounds like a delicious cocktail.
It does, though.
Yeah. I think it's a nice optimistic opener to an album. And we were talking last podcast or the one before about how you like albums that kind of progress.
It's like watching a movie, you know. It's just like
a movie's either going to start with a head rolling down some stairs or with like a happy thing,
yeah,
you know, that ends up getting messed up.
It's like you're waking up for that first day of school.
Yeah.
This is the song that plays.
I don't know we got here, but
before you go on your adventure.
Oh yeah. Do you the optimism.
Want to know my first impressions?
I do.
I just thought the drums are cool.
Oh, that's nice.
What were your first impressions?
I really like the sleigh bells and the blips in the choir.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's a great touch. Well,
I wish they had more sleigh bells in other songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christmas.
I said it.
Okay.
With some background on the song.
Tom came up with the "An airbag saved my life" line from reading a pamphlet. He read it on a pamphlet from the Automobile Association magazine, and he thought it was funny how it sounded like "Last Night a DJ Saved My Life." That's funny.
Yeah. The first thing I saw when I saw it on the notes was that.
Yeah.
It also resonated with Tom because he was in a serious car accident in 1987.
Yeah.
And he's been writing automobile-related songs since, like Stupid Car and Killer Cars.
Yeah, he doesn't like the cars. So I wonder if you saw those movies like Christine and...
Crash, the one with Roseanne Arquette.
Oh, yeah. Tom wrote some of the lyrics in the pages of William Blake's Song of Innocence and Experience, where the idea is that innocence is corrupted by experience, but actually experience is the thing that may reignite one's innocence. Do you understand? No?
Yeah, I get it.
So there's speculation that some of the song Airbag may be inspired by that.
And actually, regarding the accident, Tom actually said that he said, "Has an airbag saved my life? Nah. But I tell you something, every time you have a near accident, instead of just sighing and carrying on, you should pull over, get out of the car, run down the street screaming,
'I'm back, I'm alive.
My life has started again today.' In fact," he said, "you should do that every time you get out of the car."
Can you imagine walking in the parking garage and you hear someone screaming that? "My life started again today." And they're just walking every time they get out of the car.
And can you imagine if everyone did it? So you're like parking at Whole Foods parking lot or whatever. And there's just constant screaming.
That's really everyone who
gets out of the car.
Well,
or like the opera.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite lines of this song. I like the chorus because it's quite hopeful. It's in an interstellar verse. "I'm back to save the universe."
I like that one.
It's pretty.
I liked it too. I didn't know anything to say about it. I just liked how that sounds when he says it. I could imagine
on one of those Karen frames in your house. "God bless this mess." And then that.
An interstellar burst.
"I'm back to save the universe." Yeah. Well, what's the story or the message?
I want to Photoshop that. The story, the message, the airbag. The song alludes to having a new lease on life after having a near-death experience, allegedly.
Yeah.
Specifically from a car crash.
Yeah, Tom said something along the lines of this song being about when you, like you were saying, come home from being outside or driving and being thankful that you made it out alive. So, have you ever had a near-death experience?
Yes, a few.
And so does this song resonate with you at all?
It's funny, in the like when you have the near-death experience, right after you have it, you don't think about like that, you know, like that it was, but later, like many years later, you look back and you're like, man, I could have died.
Yeah. Retrospect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hindsight.
Hindsight. I think the only near-death experiences I've had have been, like, creek walking and sneaking into the gorge.
My driving?
I feel like I just had one the other day.
I'm just saying in general, my driving.
Yeah, your driving.
Is a near-death experience.
What did we do recently that was adventurous?
So many things I can't.
I don't know.
We could add an M80 firecracker flying to our face. Tell me about production.
There's the usual rock instruments, the drum, bass, and guitars, but the drums are played through a Moog keyboard filter and an Akai S3000 sampler. It's pretty cool.
Have you ever done anything, you know, like played something through a filter?
Yeah. I do that all the time with GarageBand.
Oh. Oh, so you're playing, I thought you were recording it raw and then later tuning it. So like when you play the violin, is it, it's already, as you play, it's recording something different than what you're playing?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Have the effect on while you're listening.
So that you never have the original thing recorded.
Yeah.
And that you're listening to the thing when you're playing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about the production?
I like the sleigh bells, like I said. And what?
You would.
And then there's like a soprano voice. But I don't know if that's the keyboard, the Korg Prophecy keyboard.
Yeah, played by Johnny. And I think there's also a cello, I'm not sure. And supposedly the production in the song was inspired by DJ Shadow and the way that he cuts up samples and drum patterns. Yeah.
Live performances.
Well, the band first performed this in 1996 in Paris, and my favorite performance is when Tom York played this on an acoustic guitar at Coachella 2010. Oh, I got to see it.
Can we get a clip of it?
Yes.
There's the Euro Cockneys, I guess, festival in 97. Is that what it's called? Euro Rockneys?
Euro Rockneys? I think that's it.
That's it. Which was this very, like, energetic kind of gig. Yeah.
I love it when Johnny does his big rakes on the guitar during the riff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that the, like, full hand motion?
Yeah.
That looks like a rake.
For sure.
Okay. Remixes.
This is a good stripped all the way down to acoustic and vocals version.
That they did?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
And then, covers.
This song has been covered by Doveman, RJD2, Easy All Stars with Horace Andy, and the Vitamin String Quartet, and Christopher O'Reilly.
And one more, the first one on the next list.
Oh, Ludoslavski Jaimahodara, which is a cascading piano and vocals.
You like cascading pianos, right?
Yeah. A piano. Oh, and there's also a piano cover on the streets of Paris.
Yeah.
With bonus perfectly timed car honks. Listen out for those. This is by the Arrogant Sons of Bitches.
No, that's... that's just another cover.
Okay.
And then this song was sampled in Coded Oxygen's Colors sample. That's what it's called. Coded Oxygen's Colors.
All right. What do critics have to say about this song?
They said even a negative review of this song by Italian critic.
Stupid Italian cricket.
Piero Scaruffi. So even a negative review by this guy Pietro, that he can't but imply that it's actually a good song.
Yeah.
And so what does he say?
He says a psalm warbled in Middle Eastern fashion, while the guitar strums a raga, a cello fills the harmony with a menacing drones, and the drum beats mechanic and syncopated. This tedious litany sets the theme for the rest of the album. Radiohead bridges the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, more precisely, the benefit of Mr. Kite, and latter-day Pink Floyd, chic pop and languid transcendental living room psychedelic. So why do you make me read this stuff?
This guy started off by saying that it's kind of mechanic and whatever and tedious, but then he ends up giving it this really flowery description at the end.
Mood swings. All right. What do friends fans have to say? What do your friends have to say?
This is one of the most optimistic songs Tom has ever written. Do you agree with that?
They obviously haven't heard any other albums after this.
There you have it. What about another fan?
I just re-listened to it again, and I have to say... Yeah, I think the mix is too compressed. I understand that it's an artistic choice, and Radiohead are geniuses that can't be questioned. But yeah, the song only opens up for me when there is a shift in dynamics or the instrumentation. Otherwise, it's just a digital wash of loudness the whole time that obscures a great song. What? Why are you laughing?
Wait, so this person's saying that... What do they mean by they think it's too compressed?
I don't know. They might be talking about the drum filter or something.
Mm.
It's sound nerd stuff.
Okay. No, but you could see, imagine you take a song that flows really well and then you compress it and it's like a big speed bump versus a little speed bump.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Do you have any personal experience?
No.
Where did you hear this song? I guess when you first heard the album.
What the heck? Do you know what that means? Oh, I see. Anyway.
Wait. So, for our meme, I don't know what the top one that was that just messed up, but apparently there was this company that sold these little rhinestone jewels, crystals that you can put on that were made for steering wheels.
Yeah.
So there's three steering wheels here that are bedazzled.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be going off and people's faces would be shredded off because they're basically launching 100 sharp, tiny little glass crystals into their face.
Scary.
Yeah.
You know a lot about cars.
It was a thing. People were so stupid. It's because that's where the airbag is.
Yeah, that's the safety
hazard. When it goes off, it's going to go flying in your face. Okay.
But it's pretty. It's cute.
As far as trivia, this song was released as a single EP with OK Computer B-sides in 1998. And what was it called?
Airbag/How Am I Driving? What? Do you have a cocktail for this song? Airbag?
Yeah, and you're not going to like it. It's called Safety First. And it's got something called C-Dip Garden 108, which is a non-alcoholic spirit.
Okay.
Notice. And cucumber juice, elderflower, cordial, lemon juice, soda water, and mint. So it's called the Safety First.
Yeah, it's good if you're trying to abstain from alcohol.
Yeah.
We've been trying to cut down.
That's true.
We have problems. No, we don't really.
Wait, We're trying to go from what, 4 to 1?
A night?
Yeah. A week.
Yeah. Oh, I like this image. What's the next song we're doing?
But why are there names on this novel?
Just tell me what the next song is.
Okay. The next song is Paranoid Android.
Yeah, so this artist who does like vintage, he puts music artists songs on like things that look like novels or comic books.
Oh, okay.
I follow him on Instagram. And Todd Alcott. Shout out to Todd Alcott. And it's cool. It's Paranoid Android, but it looks like a
Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, kind of book. Like,
and is it actually a book? Like, can you read it, or is it just like a piece of art that looks like a cover?
It's just a art that looks like a cover. There's no book.
Okay. Okay, what's a one line overview for this?
This is the first single from the album. It's the longest song on the album at 6 minutes and 23 seconds. It sounds like 5 different songs in one.
Yeah. To quote our new friend, I can't remember her name. Do you remember?
No, something with 2 Y's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay. My ears have been blessed.
Yeah, that was her first impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really remember my first impression, but I do remember a friend saying this sounded like a Dashboard Confessional song. And that's when I knew I was better than everyone else.
But
now that I'm thinking about it, this song reminds me of the Psycho theme by Bernard Herrmann. And it has a different, like, how it has different sections that could each act as a song on their own, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off earlier.
No, that's cool. You had a lot to say, and it was all very poignant.
Sorry.
Yeah, I like the 4 distinct sections. I may not like every section individually, but I get the big picture and what it's doing by putting them all together. And I think that's hard to pull off. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Can you give me some background?
Yeah, Tom was inspired to write this song after going to a bar in Los Angeles.
Tea.
Where he saw a woman freak out after somebody spilled a drink on her alleged Gucci outlet.
Gucci? Oh, man.
Alleged Gucci outfit.
Gucci outlet.
And,
yeah, I still sometimes wonder who this woman is today, and does she know Radiohead wrote a song about her? And what bar did this happen at?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I looked it on Reddit and I couldn't find it.
Oh, damn.
But a lot of people want to know.
Because they want to go.
Yeah, probably.
Me too.
Man, the way your eyes lit up when you realized that there was a bar that you could go to.
This title... I just want to go to a bar.
That inspired this song. No.
It's just an excuse to go to a bar. Like we were saying...
There's a gas station where Taylor Swift stopped and refueled somewhere in like Iowa. And now people go there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know. Okay, you were saying...
If I knew I had that much control over people, I would troll them so hard. I'd be like, this is a gas station I took a dump at. Enjoy. And like somewhere in like, I don't know, Fresno. Modesto. Shout out to Fresno and Modesto.
Sacramento in the
store. Oh, Sacramento.
Okay.
Okay. What were we talking about? So, yeah, just like the album name, this paranoid android is inspired by a character, Marvin the Paranoid Android, from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I think you ought to know I'm feeling very depressed.
Oh, God.
Well, here's something to occupy you and take your mind off
things. It won't work. I have an exceptionally large mind.
Marvin. Yeah, and that was also an inspiration for the Looney Tunes Martian.
Marvin the Martian.
Marvin the Martian. The song structure kind of, I guess, was inspired from Happiness is a Warm Gun by the Beatles. Do you think so?
I can see it.
What about Bohemian Rhapsody and the Pixies?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's possible. Anything is possible. Well, at one point, the song was over 14 minutes long, and that's very fish of them.
Like,
swish, swish. guitarist Ed O'Brien said, "This is the first edit. The first edit of the song spanned 14 minutes, and it featured an interlude with Johnny playing the organs. And this version of the song was actually performed in 1986.
What'd they say?
He said when we started playing it live, it was completely hilarious. There was a rave down section and a Hammond organ outro, and we'd be pissing ourselves while we played. We'd bring out the glockenspiel, and it'd be really funny.
And it was later changed to 6.5 minutes, and the organ section was replaced by a fade out with guitar. And he also said that the longer version took the band more than a year to learn how to play before they played it live.
I bet they're happy they narrowed it down to 6 minutes, because now they can play it all the time. And they did.
Okay. All right. what's your favorite line?
My favorite line is, "Ambition makes you look pretty ugly. Kicking, squealing, Gucci little piggy."
Why do you like that?
Because it makes me feel better about not having ambition. And I like it when artists name drop high-end fashion brands. Mm-hmm.
Just hitting all your buttons.
No ambition, likes fashion.
I like the panic, the vomit, because I just, the imagery, you know? Like, yeah. Panic and vomit, like, that's...
You're into that?
I'm just saying, like, you know exactly what's going on.
For sure.
It's either, like, a scene from The Golden Triangle. Is that what that was called? The boat, the one with the boat, or everyone gets seasick.
Oh, the Bermuda Triangle.
No.
What are you talking about?
The movie. The.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the one where they get stranded on an island.
Triangle of Sadness.
Triangle of Sadness.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Golden Triangle.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Anyway, that, remember, like, the panic, the vomit?
Oh, in the film. This song could easily fit in that film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Or, yeah. You got a story?
Yeah.
Everyone has a story to tell.
What's yours?
Well, Tom said this song is about the dullest fucking people on earth. Don't I know it? I feel that. Just because... Oh, man.
What?
Nothing. What do you think it's about?
I think it's about like the search for meaning in a universe that's completely indifferent to your existence. And it like just it has no idea you even exist, and you're just like, you know, like, why am I here? Why am I this speck on top of a speck? Wow. I don't know. That's what I got.
All right, we're gonna talk later. Can you give me some?
You give me some production highlights. This is your forte.
This song begins with a lot of Latin sounding percussion, like the claves and the cabasa with an acoustic guitar.
Cool.
Yeah.
Lots of guitars.
For sure.
And there's also some synthesizer, Rhodes piano, and a mellotron played by Johnny Greenwood. You like mellotron.
I do. And I get that because the song was so long, you can't just have it be
yeah.
guitars.
Yes.
It gets boring, you know? There's also some crazy yelling from Tom. And if you listen closely, you can hear the voice of Mac and Talk Fred repeatedly saying, "I may be paranoid, but not an android."
I may be paranoid, but not an android.
You may recognize his voice from Benny Benassi's Satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I listened to it recently, it made it feel like that android was like been the distance, but was getting closer.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause it's like, there's still music over it. It's not clear.
So you're saying it's like that looming presence of AI
yeah.
about to take over.
Or of any technology that there's fear mongering about.
Paranoid android.
It's a shame about the music video.
Yeah. Cause the video was directed. The video was directed by Swedish cartoonist Magnus Carlsson. The band liked Carlsson's cartoon series, Robin, and wanted the video to be fun. And so Carlsson, what he did is he locked himself in an office for 12 hours.
Demon puppy.
While he was listening to Paranoid Android on repeat. And staring out the window and just jotting down ideas. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I think I've seen Robin before on this thing. I used to watch MTV. And when they did cartoons.
Yeah.
They had this thing called Cartoon Sushi.
Yeah.
And it's different things. I liked Aeon Flux. And yeah. They don't show stuff like that anymore on MTV.
No. I'm sure they do on the Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
We should get that.
Yeah.
We don't need to get that. But okay. We should.
Cartoon Network?
Yeah, because we'll just watch a lot more TV.
Yeah.
All right. So the band didn't send Carlsson the lyrics so that the video wouldn't be too literal, and it sure was not.
No, and that's fine.
Yeah. So what happens?
Well, Robin and his friend Benjamin, they hang out in the city, they get flashed by a woman, they go to a pet store and get harassed at a bar, amongst other things. It's all kinds of craziness, kind of like the Army of Me music video meets the I Miss You video that we talked about.
I just call it a Monday.
Yeah.
There's nudity, violence, drugs, and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you need for a good music video.
Yeah. There's also a businessman or a EU representative that chops off his limbs and gets rescued by mermaids and ends up as a baby in a tree.
We've all been there.
That's my, like, ad for like dominatrix stuff.
I'll chop off my limbs, get rescued by mermaids, and end up
that's what I want
as a baby in a tree. That's your
my,
ad.
That's
your,
my like, fantasy.
That's your party trick.
If anyone can make this happen, I want to just chop off my limbs, make me get rescued by mermaids, and end up baby in a tree. All right. Can you tell me about live performances?
Yes, it was first played live in 1996 in Oxford, and then several times throughout their career after that.
Right on.
But it's not like a big, for kind of as big of a song as it is, I don't think they play it off as often as other songs.
No. Well, I got to see them perform this song at Outside Lands in Golden Gate Park in 2016, and it was stellar.
I bet it was. What about covers for this song?
Paranoid Android has been covered by many artists, including... Is that Sia?
Yeah.
Sia. Weezer. Slaraffenland. Brad Mehldau. Who else?
The Easy Star All-Stars, Tenacious D, Christopher O'Reilly, The Dillinger Escape Plan, and your favorite, System of a Down.
I love System of a Down. And we saw a Candlelight tribute play this song in Seattle.
In the airport.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Private airport thing. That was very nice.
Yes.
Except that that tall guy with the big head in front of me.
Don't remember that. I'm sorry, you. You still think about that at night. Toss and turn.
Because it's this beautiful, like, scene with, you know, like, a big orchestra and candlelights everywhere. And there's this bobbing head in front of me.
Yeah.
You couldn't stay still.
I'm sorry. You should have told him.
But it was still lovely because I was there with you. And
aww.
And it sounded really nice.
Yeah.
Remixes.
There is a Paranoid Android remix.
We just met.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. We just met.
Super Mario 64 remix. Paranoid Android by On Forward. It's available on YouTube.
Yeah. So that's the only remix I could find. But
that's life.
That's life. But that's, it's been sampled in 7 songs.
Yeah, I like the how Girl Talk sampled it in his song Set It Off in 2008. It was pretty neat.
And then there's the Minty Fresh Beats, sampled it in Dirt Off Your Android. Hard and Firm, they've sampled their stuff before.
Yeah. A lot. You get the idea.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see if there's... Oh, I like the Plastic Neo Sound song called Suspicious Robot.
All right.
And I have a green crayon. I have a yellow crayon.
What? That's what it's like talking to you all the time. I'm glad you understand now. Well, in case you were wondering what the fans have to say about this, the rain down part, one fan said the rain down part made me rush out and start buying Radiohead's music.
Yeah. Anything's possible.
I can see how that's powerful.
Yeah. And what about critics' reactions?
Say, paranoid android is the undisputed zenith of OK Computer, and it just might be the best song of the 90s. It is irreverent and insolent, ominous and foreboding, but also is ecstatic in its transgressiveness. You could say the very same thing about the decade itself. It's a Greek tragedy, a Dickensian novel, and a Hollywood blockbuster all at once. It's so supremely confident in how the two integrate its wild tonal and instrumental shifts into a coherent and perfected gestalt.
I thought you studied art.
What? Yeah, not English.
Okay, so he's saying it might be one of the best songs of the 90s. And I would say, like, it'd be hard to compete with Smells Like Teen Spirit and Window Licker and California Loving. What would you say is the best song of the 90s?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. That's a really hard question. I'll have to think about it.
I'll remind you next podcast.
Thank you. It's probably a Radiohead song.
Okay. Let's skip the score thing, because whatever.
Yeah.
What about some trivia? It's been in many shows, including The Crown, The OC, the 2006 anime Ergo Proxy as the credit song, Daria.
Mm-hmm.
And a piano version was in Westworld.
Yeah.
And what about misheard lyrics?
Well, so someone thought this song was saying, kicking, screaming, goose, you little piggy. You like that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you goose a little piggy every day.
Just think how funny it would be, because you'd goose him and you'd be like, and he'd spin around, just being all cute.
Oh, jeez. Kicking, squealing, Gucci, little piggy. All right, so. that's what they call me in my desk job. Is that the joke?
I was going to say it would be a good speakeasy password.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, good. I'm sure someone has that as their password. And another misheard lyric was kinky, sleazy, squishy little piggy. Not as funny.
And what's the actual lyric?
Kicking, squealing, Gucci little piggy. And I'm surprised we haven't heard that in more places.
I know. How about a cocktail for this song?
There's the Lonely Robot.
And what's in it?
I like it already. Smoky Scotch whiskey, such as Laphroaig.
And you know, like
Amaro, like Amaro Averna. Activated charcoal syrup for a deep, dark color. Fresh lemon juice, maple syrup, black walnut bitters, and charcoal salt rim is optional.
And a lemon twist for garnish.
Yeah. Is that us?
Yes. We're spreading the word right now. That is us right now.
Oh,
spreading
the word of
Radiohead.
Okay.
All right. The drink sounds good, though. Whiskey with Amaro and
yeah,
walnut bitters. And
it's really dark. Yeah. I like it.
What are we doing next week?
We're doing track 3, Subterranean Homesick Alien. And then after that, Exit Music 4 Film. And then Let Down.
Well, we hope you weren't let down by this episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna be saying that a lot next episode. And no, I'm excited about that one because
the next one,
yeah, Exit Music is my favorite song on this album, so I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait.
Cool.
All right, bye, Felicia.